Another great day's Ashes cricket, and welcome to Cricket Unfiltered, the News Corp cricket podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Mensel, and let's head straight to the Adelaide Oval to hear today's report.
Thanks, Manners. Well, given the august nature of this occasion, we're coming down to what could be a day five for the ages. We're giving it the kitchen sink treatment tonight, not just myself and Ben Horn, but Gideon Haigh and Peter Lawler, the esteemed and very well-respected duo from The Australian, are joining us as we try and sort through this most unpredictable test. Hasn't it been interesting all the way, Gideon? Plenty of kicks and groans and U-turns.
Day four for the ages too, wasn't it? Incredible. I mean, a great advertisement for night test cricket, because it really was the last session of last night that turned things around. The in-game volatility of bowling conditions is kind of a leitmotif for night test cricket. And by giving England the opportunity to bowl under lights last night and not enforcing the follow-on, Steve Smith has given us something to write about.
Yeah.
Thank God for that, because it was up until that stage that we'd all been riding in the same direction.
Okay, just quickly around the table, Pete. Out of 10, what chance do you give England of winning this match tomorrow? We'll go Pete Lawler.
If I give England 6 out of 10, does that mean I can give Australia 6 out of 10
no,
also?
No, no. It has to be a quotient.
A quotient.
England gets 6, Australia get 4.
Okay, yeah. I'm not a gambling man. So 60-40, Australia's favour.
Ben?
I tend to agree. I think a wicket very early tomorrow can swing it in Australia's direction. But as long as Joe Root's out there, who knows?
Gideon? Yeah,
I feel the same way. We always tend to overestimate the chances of teams going for fourth innings targets. There's a reason why no one's ever made more than 315 to win a test match here. And you know, the lower echelons of England haven't covered themselves in glory so far on this tour.
It's a great point. I can't see England winning it, but it's a simple fact. If Joe Root bats until about sunset, guess what? He's played the innings of his life, and they've won a test for the ages. But Ben, Peter Hanscombe looked out of sorts today. In trouble?
It'll be interesting to see what the result of this match is, I suppose. But even if Australia get out of it, I think he does have a few things to worry about, because Australia are getting to a point now where they can't really afford to carry anyone, because they're worried about the balance of the team, the need possibly to get an all-rounder in there, or someone at least who can offer a few overs. So look, they'd be very hesitant to change a winning team, but he's got some serious work to do. If not before the next match, then you know, in the few matches to come, and ahead of that series in South Africa, he's going to have to fix some things up.
Pete, what if Australia lost tomorrow? Does that become an official historical howler for Steve Smith? The referred decisions which failed, the failure to enforce the follow-on, does it become the sort of Ricky Ponting Edgbaston / Nasser Hussain moment? You know, even though it wasn't at the toss, of course, but is it that notorious?
Oh, yeah, right up there. Right up there with 2001, Steve Waugh in Kolkata enforcing the follow-on. Interesting that we're now talking about that, isn't it? Because for the first 2 days, we were talking about Joe Root's decision to put Australia in. Now we're talking about Smith's decision not to enforce the follow-on. They're critical decisions in this game. Yeah, this is going to be massive. This is going to weigh against him for a long time. And perhaps most interestingly, it will weigh against him for the series, because it's put a rattle among the troops, hasn't it? I reckon the bowlers came on today. They just looked a little bit tense. They knew that they'd let England into the game when they shouldn't have. England now know they've got a sniff that they should never have had. And that's going to nag at the other side. And you looked at Smith's face today. The boy needs Botox. He really needs something, because he's putting a chill through the rest of the team. You know, when things are going wrong on the field, the look on the captain's face is disturbing, you know.
I mean, neither captain's had a great game, but at the same time, I think both captains have been let down by their teams. You know, when Root decided to send England in, he didn't tell England to bowl a yard short, which they did for the first 2 hours of the game. And I thought today Australia's batting, after their, I mean, you could understand them caving in last night, England bowled extremely well, but today there was a real sense of just a bit, they were a bit D-mob happy. I mean, some of the shots to get out today, Lyon played a terrible shot. I mean, I know he's a night watchman, but it looked, you know, bizarrely flamboyant. Hanscom and Marsh tried to play scoring shots off balls that required defensive bats or leaves. Stark was caught in the deep. Payne was caught in the deep. Cummins tried to get caught in the deep. No one seemed to want to dig in today. And you know, if Smith's objective was to get miles in the legs of the England bowlers and to delay England's second innings until after the lights came on, then Australia abjectly failed. You can't lay all the blame for that on Smith.
It's a great thing in Ashes series, isn't it, watching players crack the pressure. A lot of these fellows we've just talked about then aren't that experienced. And
yeah.
We made the point today, it was this test last year where there was five new players.
Mm-hmm.
And if Hanscom goes from this test, that's all five gone.
Yeah.
That's the transition, isn't it? So you're talking about a team who... It's actually intriguing, isn't it, watching guys crack under pressure. And that's why if England somehow got out of this, if it was 1-1 going to Perth, my goodness, golly me, it's game on in the series, isn't it? You know, in a four-man attack trudging through,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Saker said something very interesting about Hanscom tonight. He acknowledged that there's a problem there, and he says he'll work on it, but we can't change him too much.
No.
So does that mean he can't... Yeah, it is a significant change to get that batsman to play on the front foot, isn't it?
Well, same issue as confronted Gary Balance. You know, Gary Balance tried to tinker with this technique but ended up going back to his previous technique, because by the time you get to this stage in your career, it's very difficult to recalibrate significantly. And you tend to... I think players are inherently conventional.
Yeah.
Cook tried to change his technique and eventually went back to what he was doing.
It's interesting, isn't it? And Ricky Ponting, who I think his commentary has been outstanding, particularly from a technical point of view, he said... You've got to have a good reason for going back that far, and I can't see it.
No.
And in one clip sentence, he sort of got it, hasn't he? Like, where's the runs?
Yes.
The runs are all behind the wicket, but hang on, if you plug back there, like he hit it straight, glided straight to a fieldsman today, his scoring area, but three men waiting for the catch. So he's a fascinating study, isn't he?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, he's opened the door for Mitchell Marsh. Mitchell Marsh bowled 9 overs in the second last Shield game. He's just bowled 13 in this one. He's ready to go. You know, if they can get 9 and 13 overs and innings out of Mitchell Marsh going into Perth, and his batting's in a really good place.
Yeah.
I know everyone in Victoria is going to jump up and down and say, Glenn Maxwell, Glenn Maxwell, Glenn Maxwell.
Yep.
And rightly so, because Glenn Maxwell's batting's excellent, but he's bowling... is not what Australia wants. They want a Mitchell Marsh out there bowling seam in Perth, don't they? So, gee, two Marsh brothers in the team for Perth. Who would have picked that?
Yeah.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah, you certainly heard it here second. Gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure to have Ben and our guests from The Australian. You've had a fine summer yourselves, Peter and Gideon. Keep it up. Here's to the glory of Test cricket. We can't wait for tomorrow.
Good night from them and good night from us. Yeah.
Thanks, guys, and thanks for downloading Cricket Unfiltered today. And we'll be back tomorrow for a final day's report.